A great day starts with a great morning. Morning Talk with Rowena Baird on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
And that's what it is indeed. We're going to be together until midday. Good morning to you. And I must congratulate Pietso Mosimane on being crowned CAF Coach of the Year. Wasn't that just something? And also Mamelodi Sundowns being crowned Club of the Year. The award took place last night in Nigeria. And I couldn't stay up for most of it. Lots of performances, musical performances. But yeah, that's the news. Pietso and his boys really deserve these accolades because they have done us very, very proud. Well done to them. And it only shows that hard work and determination really, really pay off at the end of the day. And they can produce good things through hard work and determination. And we're coming up on today's program. We're going to talk about depression and suicide. I know, what a way to start the show. But we'll try and make it a little bit light, if we can make such a very heavy subject light. And then we'll explore the psychology behind the black urban English-speaking child from the so-called middle-class family, usually struggles with traditional African practices, struggles with language, African language as well, and cultural innuendos as well. That I'm talking about the child who would say, "What do they mean, mommy?" And talking about their cousins. So we'll have the discussion later. And then we'll go to issues of education and talk about the responsibility of the private sector or business in contributing to education and also ensuring that we improve educational outcomes in this country. And then we'll talk about society glorifying negative terms like blesser. I mean, what's that about? Blesser and Mureki is the new one. So we'll have that conversation later. And then to end the show with our Friday musical wind-down session today, we'll be joined by, is it Philo Soul? Are they called Philo Soul? Philo Soul. Okay, we'll talk to Philo Soul. This is a duo between Themba Mondlane and Mandela Konana, and they'll join us in studio. They'll also perform for us in studio. So it's a nice, interactive, and very busy program this morning. Right now, however, we are joined by Ms. Chemery Ganko, who is energy healing and life coach. And we're going to talk, like I said, about depression, and we'll talk about suicide as well after this.
Something has come naturally to SAFM, like being SA's news and information leader. SAFM, 104 to 107.
All right. Like I said, we're joined by Ms. Chemery Ganko, an energy healing and life coach, and we're going to talk about depression and suicide. Now, a popular myth exists that suicides peak during Christmas, around Christmas time, because people are already suffering from whatever depression, and then they get pushed over the edge because everybody just seems to be so happy. Like, why are you happy and I'm feeling so down? But is that a myth, and is there any truth to that myth? But there's also a view that suicides actually rise after Christmas, so they rise in January because people postpone the holiday season suicide thing, and they say, okay, I'll do it later. Which of those is true, if any at all? Like I said, Chemery Ganko, energy healing and life coach. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you, Rowena.
Great to have you.
It's lovely to be here.
Funny weather, I was saying to you off air, and you have very interesting things to say about the weather.
Yes. Have you ever noticed when you get up on a Monday morning, most of the time, that it's overcast and it's a little bit chilly, even in summer? Now, the reason for that is called the morphic field. It's very fascinating. You can go, there's been a lot of scientific research study done into it. And basically what the morphic field is your body gives off an energy. You know, when you walk up to somebody, you can feel their energy. The morphic field is the collection of all of the energy of everybody in the world or in that geographic location.
And the energies are negative.
Yeah, and on Monday morning, everybody's tired. Have you ever noticed that? You'll have a great weekend. You'll be feeling energized by Sunday afternoon. You're thinking tomorrow's going to be a great Monday. Yeah. And you wake up on Monday morning and you're tired straight away. That's
it's a scientific thing.
Yes,
it's
that's the morphic field. Right. It's like the internet of all knowledge. You pull information out of it.
Yeah. Right, talking about that, let's talk about the seasonal nature of depression and suicide, though. Can you link the two?
I definitely can, and a lot of it has got to do with, again, what we were talking about, the consumerism in our society. Any time that you get depressed, it's always got to do with the fact that you are separated from something.
Mm.
So you are separated from a person you want to be with. That could be a breakup or a death. You are separated from the lifestyle you want.
Mm.
You are separated from the monies you want. You are separated from the dreams
that
you
want to
achieve.
But how are you separated from them when you haven't had these things in the first place? So it's not a separation.
But you see other people having it, and then you say, why do they have it when I don't have it? I am separated from it. And that causes a lot of pain. When you boil down any depression with any person, it's always going to come back down to they are separated from something that they want. And a big thing that causes it is in society, we've got this thing of keeping up with the Joneses.
Yep.
What are other people going to think of me? Am I doing as well as other people are doing? So we tend to focus on that. So you see the contrast of somebody else. It never occurs to you to think in your mind that that person could be lower than me, because society doesn't teach us to think like that. In our own private little bubbles, regardless of how high up on the scale you get, we're always thinking that person has something that
that I don't have.
Yes.
So it's how society has conditioned us. And you know, and I guess also people tend to want to look for some kind of end goal in the outer world. It's all about what the Joneses have, what I don't have, what I should have.
But you're also seeing a very limited pot. So you see somebody buy a new car, but you don't realize that they're actually taking a cut in what they pay on their rent to be able to afford that new car. You're not thinking to yourself, what have they given up paying for in order to have that? You're just saying they have the car, so obviously they must have all the other things that I have or that I believe that they have.
Well, it talks to us being enslaved, like I said, to this consumerist, want. And you can never quite fill that void. So how do you fill that void?
Well, it's really about the ego cycle. If you go into advanced spiritual texts like the Kabbalah, okay, and you actually go and you read the Bhagavad Gita, go look through A Course in Miracles, the Bible, they all basically bring you back to the spiritual journey is the ego cycle. And the ego cycle works like this. You have a desire. You launch that desire. You start working towards that desire. Then one of two things happen. You either give up and walk away, or you achieve that desire. It doesn't matter whether you achieve it or you give it up, you reach an anti-climax. Because often, even when you get it, you get to the wedding day, but the wedding day is never
quite
what you made it up in your mind. There's always an anti-climax after an achievement. Even if you get your biggest business goal, the day after you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, what do I do next?
But isn't that the aspirational nature of humans?
Yes, and it's exactly how you grow. That is the actual personal development cycle. What happens is you start getting higher up in that cycle and you really start shifting layers away is that you start experiencing more negativity, more depression, more negative ego cycles.
So the more
failure.
Wait a minute. So the more you're on the spiritual journey is
the more depressed you're going to get, because part of the spiritual,
that boggles the mind.
I know. Yeah. It took me a long time to figure out. I mean, I've unpacked ego, I've unpacked mirrors, I've created processes around it, and it took me a very long time to figure out and understand this. It is intrinsically linked. I mean, Einstein and a lot of the famous scientists have said things like, you can't find a very intelligent person who is happy. The more intelligent you get, the more you're connected to spirituality, the more you're connected to the morphic field and able to utilize that, the more depressed you're going to get. And the biggest reason is it's all got to do with that secret, the manifestation, the energy of attraction.
Mm.
You are saying to the universe, help me grow faster, help me grow faster, help me grow faster. It takes 10 years to build a successful business. But in that 10 years, you can have 20 business failures. So you can have one one ego cycle of success versus 20 ego cycles of failure. And if you want to grow really fast, you have to go through the ego cycles.
Of failure or success?
Of all of them. And the more you can put into a shorter period of time, the faster you're actually going to grow. And those moments of suicide, those moments where you want to commit suicide, if you've never been there, I've been there, I've tried a couple of times. And the people who are listening will be able to back me up on this. It's always an instant decision. It's not
You never plan it?
You don't plan it beforehand. You'll be thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. But the moment you're going to do it, it's a very in-the-moment, impulsive decision.
And what informs that particular moment?
And it's going to be a number of things. The day you've had, the mood you're in. You know, you can wake up one day feeling really great and then for no reason you wake up the next day feeling really, really horrible. Something bad happens to you on a day that you're feeling really horrible and you get home and you find out that your husband's not coming home and you're sitting there on your own, sitting with that negativity, and you hold it inside you and you think about it. And every time you're thinking about it, you're expanding it. You're adding another thing.
Giving it energy.
Yes.
Yeah, you're giving it energy.
And it always comes down to a single moment. I've never spoken to anybody that's tried to commit suicide that it hasn't come down to a moment. It's not something that you plan long in advance. You'll be thinking about it, and then you'll decide, okay, now I'm going to try.
Yeah. So whatever you focus on grows. That's not just hocus pocus.
No, whatever you focus on grows. And in purely spiritual matters, everything you ask for will be granted. So when you are asking for additional growth, you're asking for opportunities to experience faith, to experience trust, to experience God's love. Then you're going to get a lot of experiences thrown at you. You hardly ever see an advanced spiritual person who hasn't had a difficult life. Mm.
So what should we be asking for? What should we be asking the universe for?
I ask for faith. Every morning when I pray, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me grow my faith. And the more I grow my faith, the more I'm able to see. With the people who are going through the depression and suicide, for them, the most important thing that I can say is you've got to live day to day. You need to get to those rock bottom points, because every single one of those is an ego death. And in order to really go up this path, you need to obliterate your ego. And ego is a great thing to understand if you look at it like this. Ego is the thing that keeps you separated from understanding you're connected to everything.
Mm.
It's the part of you that thinks that you are an individual being.
Mm.
The higher up you go, the more I know your energy is now intermeshing into mine, and we are creating one energy here. Other people see everybody else as separate to them. And as you get older, especially for women, we're really lucky as women. We create communities, we have children, we connect to people, so we understand that unity that exists. The friendships that we have amongst women are fantastic for that as well. But
so then are the friendships between women more significant, stronger, more mean more than male partnerships or male friendships?
If I have to give a one word answer, I'd say yes, because I think women, we have a different way of approaching things. I've often made the comment, I'm not entirely sure who thought that men and women together to breed, to forward the humanity and populace, I'm not sure who thought that was a good idea, because really, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We've got a whole different
but
way of approaching.
That world, so worlds apart, though.
Yes, we are.
Really?
Very, very much so. And it's got to do with the dualities on Earth, the contrasts of ideas. Women, it's kind of like we complement each other. So men want to control. Women are okay with not being in control. So they allow themselves to be controlled.
Be submissive.
Yes. Yeah. For me, a big wake-up was when my ex-husband moved out after I divorced him. Because I realized how much I compromised and I accommodated around him in the home. And being able to take my home back and live completely the way that I wanted to was quite a wake-up call for me. It was a really, really nice feeling. The relationship between my daughter and I skyrocketed the moment that he moved out, because there was no male to look after or to baby or to take care of.
All right. We're talking this morning about suicide and depression at this time of the year, particularly, which seems to peak. Ms. Shemari Ganko is an energy healing and life coach. And we're taking your calls now on 0891-104207. Send SMSs to 34701. Tweet us at SAFM Radio.
We are just one phone call away. Call SAFM now on 0891-104207.
We are talking to somebody who does work in the realm of, who talks about death. She talks about all sorts of things. She talks about forgiveness as well. And I don't want to say too much on forgiveness because we're going to be doing that in the next segment of the program. But what is it about forgiveness that is so difficult?
It's not really that it's not really that it's difficult. It's that you don't understand what it is and how it fits into it.
Because what it is it frees you.
Yes,
right?
And people seem to think that it's about freeing the other person and they want to hold that person accountable.
Yeah.
If you go into the more advanced sort of Christian-based religious texts, there's a great one called A Course in Miracles. And basically, A Course in Miracles teaches you how to create miracles, how to facilitate miracles. And a miracle is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a miracle. What it effectively does is it creates a collapse of time that means that things that would have to happen in the future in order to correct that no longer need to take place. So you're holding on to this idea that
this person is going to come to you and say, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my dad did all of this stuff wrong to me when I was a kid. But you're holding on to that all the time. So it becomes this veil through which you see the world. There's a great analogy for it. You hire somebody named Mary, but your mom was a Roman Catholic. And at the end of the day, you're sitting with these two job applications in front of you, and the one lady is named Mary and the other lady is named Emily, okay? And you decide to hire Mary because the Roman Catholic belief that you grew up in gives you this veil that makes you believe the name Mary, people with the name Mary are going to be holy and good. Right?
Mm.
You do the same thing with forgiveness. You do the same thing when you're putting it onto the other kind of person. You see it through this veil. So if you're going in and you're holding on to this idea of my dad always treated me badly and he abused me and he hurt me, it becomes this filter through which you see everything in your life. So you see a dad smack this kid and you think that dad must be abusing that kid. And what the forgiveness does is it takes that veil away so that you can see the world differently.
Mm.
The peace exists inside you, and forgiveness is completely a one-sided deal. You forgive when you are ready, then you let it go, and that person will then have to meet up with somebody else in order to redress
but
that energy.
But do you have to then meet up with that person after forgiving them?
No. For a lot of people, because
you can forgive and move on.
Think about society. Everything about society is driven by the fact that people are externally focused, okay? They require external validation for absolutely everything. And that's where the idea comes from, that the person has to be there. There's different names for it. There's forgiveness, there's absolution, right? And all those different names mean different things because they are different activities. Forgiveness is a process of release that happens inside you so that you're not holding on to that negativity anymore.
Mm.
It's actually got nothing to do with
the other
person at all.
Yeah.
Can I give you the simplest forgiveness exercise in the world?
Mm.
Comes from a Hawaiian culture called Ho'oponopono. And basically, all you do is you think about the person or put a photograph of them in front of you. I find that works really effectively. Put a photograph there and then you just start chanting, I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive you, please forgive me. Even if you don't mean it, just sit there and keep repeating that for as long as you possibly can. After a while, if you can keep going for like half an hour, I do it in my head most of the time. If you can keep going, you'll eventually feel a release. It won't necessarily be all of the forgiveness at once, but you'll feel a release point. Quite amazingly, I'd say about 70% of people who do that exercise get contacted by the person they were doing that exercise on with in a couple of days of them actually doing
that
exercise.
I believe that. Let's take a call from Cody in Chatsworth. Good morning.
Morning. I want a favor from you that you must call a municipality my light account every month is coming very high. I'm only collecting 1,500. And my light, and 4,000, 3,000 my light account coming. At least you can call the municipality and we can talk. Hello?
Hello, Cody. Okay, I'll put you back to one of the call screeners because that's not what we're talking about this morning. But yeah, we are talking about forgiveness. We're talking about death even. That's what you talk about.
But, yes.
And people are hesitant to talk about death, aren't
well,
they?
Well, think about it. The fear of death keeps you alive. If you take away the fear of death, then you stop having that strong urge to live. The fear of death drives almost everything we do, if you think about it. I mean, you travel in a safe car because you don't want the car to get into an accident or break down in a bad area because you're afraid of dying. You're afraid of being hurt. And one of the very big things on the spiritual path is overcoming that fear of death.
Because death is part of life. It's a natural progression after life is death.
The levels that I've got into and a lot of the people that I work with internationally have got into, what you actually start realizing is that it's really just a transition.
Yeah,
it's a movement from one place to another, and the physical body limits you. So a lot of people don't necessarily advance as far as others when they attempt the spiritual journey, and that limitation has actually got to do with the physical body. A lot of the people that I've worked with over the years have had multiple mental breakdowns as they've reached certain levels of awareness. And that's actually got to do with stretching the mind, because often the spiritual journey will take your mind past breaking point.
There's some SMSs that I would like you to go through,
mm-hmm.
and some are not on the screen, but here's one. Loneliness is killing me. I'm afraid to come to my lonely house every day after work. What can I do?
There's a lot of very practical things that you can do, but if this person can contact and actually leave their message, leave an email address, I'm happy to send them a tool that they can use to work through it on their own that gives them coaching questions and things like that. For those of you that are experiencing loneliness, I just want to say this and say this very seriously. The more you are battling with depression and loneliness, the higher up you are on the spiritual scale, okay? Those are two of the big key areas, especially in the new information that's been coming through since the 2012 shift. Loneliness, even though it is hell on earth to go through, I know that and I agree with you. The deeper you go into that loneliness and stop resisting it, the faster it's going to realize, and the faster you're going to realize the lessons and information that they're trying to teach you from that loneliness.
Can you help that person as either family or friends? Because sometimes you can be in the midst or in the company of people, but still be very, very lonely.
Those are a lot more of the advanced souls. If I look back at my journey, I always managed to be isolated from people. My life was very alone. I lived in a world of books. People were never comfortable around me. I had the prickly personality and things like that. I would say that you don't know where that person is going. All right. We need to get over this idea that pain is a bad thing.
Yeah.
You go through periods of pain, but that pain allows you to see beauty. If you've got air all the time, you've got no concept of what it's like to live in an anaerobic environment. If we didn't have nights, the fact that the sun came up would mean nothing. It would always be day.
So we need the two skills. We need pain. We need pleasure.
But the pain is only pain because you're putting so much importance on it.
Yeah.
As you simplify your life, the laws of the universe become simpler. Solitude is not solitude. Poverty is not poverty, and weakness is not weakness. When you look back on your life retrospectively, you're going to understand that the biggest surges you've made have been when you've been alone. For a lot of people, there's a massive global timeline playing out that's been taking place over the last last 3 to 5 years, and there's been this intense period of personal development and spiritual growth, and a lot of people are battling with those issues, issues around control, inequality, imbalance, free will versus obligation, and loneliness. I can only tell you that if you keep pushing the loneliness away and rejecting it and fearing it, it's going to keep coming back heavier and heavier and heavier until you face it. So if you are lonely today, go home this afternoon, sit down and be lonely. Cry if you have to. Feel your loneliness, because it's not long. Once you go into the emotion and you feel it, often it starts releasing in a matter of seconds or minutes. It's only you resisting it that stops it releasing. It's only coming to bring you a piece of information. And those of you that are fighting a big loneliness battle, the lesson that you are working towards is that you need to be complete alone.
Right.
Stop. Yeah.
But there's some SMSs that I would like you to go through, like I said, but we need to take the markets first, and then we'll get to the SMSs after this.
Great stories told by great personalities. SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
In the market update, the rand is trading at 13.65 to the dollar, 16.91 to pound sterling, and 14.44 to the euro. Do you want to do this?
Okay, I'll do this.
This has never happened before.
Okay, so where were we? All right, so the euro is at $1.05 and the dollar is trading at 116.16 Japanese yen. The Chinese yuan is at 1 rand 96, and in India, 1 rand is worth 4 rupees 97. In Nigeria, $1 is at 304 naira. In Kenya, a dollar costs 103.55 shillings. And in Botswana, $1 changes hand at 10.64. Now for a brief look at some of the stock markets. Japan's Nikkei closed 0.3% weaker, and the Australia's ASX All Ordinaries Index was flat at the close of trade. Hong Kong's Hang Seng is currently trading 0.2% up. Mainland China's Shanghai Composite Index has declined by 0.3%. And the Sensex on India's Bombay Stock Exchange is flat. The JSE is mainly higher in early trade. The All Share Index has added 0.3% to 50,650. Financials have added 0.2%, and the Industrial 25 Index is 0.6% firmer. The Top 10 Resources Index is flat, the Platinum Mining Index has declined by 0.6%, and the Gold Mining Index is 0.4% down. On the capital market, the yield on the R186 government bond is at 8.83%. European markets look set to open flat. And on the commodities market, gold is trading at $1,175 and platinum at $9.55 per ounce, while the price of Brent crude is at $56.80 a barrel. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Can I interview you every day?
You are more than welcome to our radio. Was always my first love.
And then you can do the markets for me. Yeah, thank you. Oh, my goodness. I had a minute breather there. Thanks.
Yes.
I really appreciate it. We're talking this morning to Ms. Chemery Ganko, and she also did the markets. There you go. She's an energy healing and life coach. Some SMSs for you. What the mind attends to... Okay, let me try and read this. What the mind attends to, it considers. What the mind considers, believes. Okay, I don't know.
They're basically talking about the creation of belief. So if you think about something, you will land up considering it over a period of time.
And if you conceive it and believe it,
yes,
you will
and
achieve
if you keep it. But the importance there is actually how they worded it, because they're speaking about the repetition. The thing is you can think a thought once and then let it go. The thoughts that stay with you are the ones that you keep coming back to every day. So I used to be quite a heavy set chick. Like a few years back, you look at a photo of me, I was wearing a size 20 pants. I wear like a size 8 to 10
wow.
now, okay? And one of the most important things that I did with the manifestation was about 5 to 10 times a day, I actually visualize my body getting thinner and firmer. I stand for a second, I pull my stomach in, I tighten everything up, and I feel that tightness. But it's the repetition that's got me there. I have done that 5 to 10 times a day every single day. I'm studying today, for the last 5 years.
Let's be talking. I'm standing up. And what do I need to do?
Imagine.
And I'm imagining myself as lean and
pull
tight.
Pull your tummy in. Feel the tightness of your tummy muscles. Clench your bum. Feel the tightness of your bum muscles. It also helps if you get a picture that you can hold in your mind. So I've got, there's a couple of really sexy pictures of ladies' tummies and a nice bum that I found on the internet. And I've memorized them. So when I'm doing that exercise, I just flash that picture in my mind at the same time. And that is incredibly successful. But if you're going to create a way of thinking and a way of being and a way of believing, you need to be doing it that often. And that's the importance. The reason we get driven by things like anxiety and worry and pain and fear and concern is because we allow ourselves to think about it every single day.
Yes.
Stop the thoughts. Yes. Push them away. Don't let it come. When your mind starts going, oh, you know, I don't feel like getting up today. Yeah. You know, I really don't want to get out of bed. Oh, and then you go, oh, my hip is hurting. Oh, maybe I need to go to the doctor. And then you're so focused on keeping your hip sore so that you can have a day off work that you create an illness in your hip. Because the next time you don't feel like going to work, your body's going to go back to a habit that you've previously created. So every single time that you want a day off work, you're creating a pain in your hip. Eventually, that pain in your hip is going to become something.
It becomes real.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the important thing. It's repetition, repetition, repetition.
Okay. More SMSs. I agree. Loneliness has taught me a lot and has showed me my journey of spirituality. That's from Corsi. Is it true that September is a bad suicide month in the Southern Hemisphere, as spring is imminent with new growth and the depressed person doesn't feel uplifted? I've heard that as well.
It's got to do with the seasons changing. There's a thing called seasonal affect disorder, and it's actually got a lot to do with that. So the seasons change. People will feel stuff around the seasons changing. If you go into the astrological and spiritual side of it, one of the things that you'll find is that there's those four major equinoxes. There's mid-year, there's the end of the year. So it's the 21st of March, 21st of July, or June, and then the 21st of September, and then the 21st of December, okay? And those are often accompanied by large scales of energy coming through. So those are periods of times where people can make massive spiritual surges, and they are much closer to ascending.
Mm.
We actually monitor that kind of stuff online. So it's more got to do with that. Remember, the ego journey is there. I'm saying to you, the higher you go on the spiritual journey, the more of the depression, the negative stuff, the ego deaths you're going to have.
Yeah.
So it's going to stand to reason that if there's a period that's a big surge period, it's going to draw up a lot of emotions for you, and it's going to be a difficult period for you. What I do want to say to that, what's more concerning, is that around the world over the last few years, suicide rates have risen by 40% globally, okay? In America, there are 117 suicides a day. I think it boils down to, I think it's every 42 seconds somebody around the world commits suicide successfully. The majority of the increase in suicide that we are seeing has to do with financial struggles. A lot of it is men. Men are much more prone to suicide than women are. And you need to be aware of this money thing. We, as South Africa, we need to start having this money conversation. Everything can't be about greed and consumption anymore. People are killing themselves because they can't keep up with the Joneses. Instead of losing the house, they'll take their life. You can lose the house, you can come
and rebuild and rebuild. Another SMS: tell your guest I felt exactly the same as her when I got rid of my ex-wife, and the baggage and whining has now gone. No more depression now that the handbrake is gone. And my son is also so happy. That's from Anonymous.
Anonymous, I totally agree with you, but often the thing is, and it's that contrast experience again. People are much happier being single after they've been married and divorced because they've got the experience. to try and convince somebody who's never been married or never been in a relationship that they must be happy single, they don't even want to hear it because they don't know. They don't have the experience for themselves.
Our daughter passed away a few years ago. My husband and I just want to be alone. I don't mind because God is with us. That's from Rhea.
I'm very sorry for your loss, Rhea. Yes, I understand that and the need to be alone. I hope you still feel connected to it because what I am getting is that she's around for you to connect to. I can sense the energies. So,
what can you sense from me? Oh, God,
what
is
can
it good?
I sense? like I said to you, your body needs a bit of help and plumbing and things like that at the moment. But, yes, you've definitely got energies that you're much more open to the stuff. But your path has been a bit more religious than what it's been mainstream spiritual. Yeah, I love it when people give me that smile and they just look at me.
All right. You know I don't. All right, another SMS. Please ask the lady what happens after death. That's from Mr. Hughes.
It really is. It depends on you and the level that your soul is at, okay? There are places that are like heavens and hells, but souls will choose to go there. What really does happen is the karma stuff and reincarnation. And when you get into the nitty-gritty of it, that level there is actually what the Mayan shift was about. Your ego is tied to that level of reincarnation, because reincarnation is the idea that when Shemeri dies, you as Rowena can owe me something or I can owe you something, and then we have to redress that balance in a different lifetime. So your ego lives at the level of reincarnation. And when we're breaking souls out and breaking them through so that they can move out of the trap of earth, we're actually moving them past that, and your key to that is forgiveness.
Wow. Because goes back to forgiveness.
That's a good place to leave it at, because
that's the next conversation. Listen, very good place to leave it at. Thank you very much, Shemeri.
Thank you
it's
very much for
pleasure.
Having me. God bless you all.
Shemeri Ganko is an energy healing and life coach.